It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and we're going to start the hour with a nutty subject today. We're going to talk about growing nut trees in Iowa. There may be a lot more options than you think. Jeff Jetson is here. He is field coordinator for Northwest Iowa with Trees Forever. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And also with me is Tom Wall of Red Fern Farm in Wapello. He is a nut grower. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here today.
You're welcome.
So, Jeff, nut trees are not something we commonly think about in Iowa. Of course, there are black walnuts growing all over the place, but other kinds of nut trees we tend to associate with warmer climates. Are there just a lot more options than we've ever thought?
Well, we certainly can't grow the almonds and the pistachios, but beyond that, we can grow things like hazelnuts, certainly pecans and hickories, a lot of the different walnuts, heart nuts, butternuts, black walnuts. So there's quite a few options out there.
Well, even pecans, for example. I mean, I think about those in Missouri. Is that something that's hardy in all of Iowa?
I wouldn't say hardy in all of Iowa. Certainly the native pecan range only crept up to the Clinton area along the Mississippi River. However, pecans, as zones change, it may be viable to grow pecans a little bit further north to get actual nuts. Of course, pecans can also be grown. They're nice shade trees. Just typically, we won't get nuts up in the northern part of the state.
That just seems a little cruel, though, to have a pecan tree and no nuts to enjoy. So, Tom, I should mention Red Fern Farm in Wapello. You're pretty far south in Iowa. So is that something that gives you a lot of options, being right there near the Mississippi River in southern Iowa?
There are a few things that we can grow in southeast Iowa that won't do well in the rest of Iowa, but there's still plenty of options all over Iowa, including pecans, even in northern Iowa. There is a native stand of pecans on the Des Moines River in Kossuth County near the Minnesota border.
Really?
That has been there for 250 years.
Wow.
They don't ripen nuts that far north, but the trees grow there.
So, Tom, when you first moved to Red Fern Farm, you were interested in sustainable agriculture and coming up with an agricultural model. And that led you to nut growing. When you started doing research about the kinds of trees that you could grow in southeast Iowa, where did you even go for that information?
Actually, the best source of that kind of information in the world is an organization called the Northern Nut Growers Association. And there's also some state organizations like Iowa Nut Growers, and then some topical organizations like Chestnut Growers of America. Those are the best sources of that kind of information.
And we put up a link on our Facebook page to the Iowa Nut Growers Association. So if you want to look at a list of all the different varieties of nuts that can be grown in Iowa, you can go to our Facebook page and find that link and look at that. You mentioned growing chestnuts. Of course, we all know the story of the American chestnut, and that's something that I guess a lot of us didn't think could be even grown in the United States. You're not growing any American chestnuts, are you?
I do have a couple of American chestnuts on the farm, but most of what I grow are Chinese chestnuts. Really the only species that's commercially viable in our part of the world.
And Chinese chestnuts, so it's a very similar tree, very similar product to what we would associate with the American chestnut?
The nuts are similar, larger than American chestnuts. The tree that grows them is much smaller and more bushy than the American chestnut was. The American chestnut was a gigantic tree, 120 feet tall, 10 feet diameter. The Chinese chestnut is more like an apple tree in size and shape.
Describe for us, because a lot of us have never seen a chestnut tree. We've never seen how chestnuts ripen and fall to the ground. Can you describe what a tree looks like and how the nuts grow on the tree for us?
Well, like you said, the Chinese chestnut, which is what we grow commercially, is has about the size and shape of a standard apple tree, up to 40 feet tall and wide, according to the literature. Very spreading. Lots of limbs. One thing you need to understand about the nuts is they are grown inside a very spiny burr. And when the nuts ripen, the burr splits open and the nuts fall to the ground.
And how many nuts would grow inside one of those burrs?
Usually there are three nuts to a burr, but there could be anywhere from one to seven or eight. But most of the time it's three. But then those burrs fall to the ground after the nuts fall. And these are not something you want to walk on in bare feet. In fact, you can't lay down in the grass and stare up at the clouds or even walk with sandals around a chestnut tree.
They look kind of like a small porcupine.
Yes. Or if you're familiar with sand burrs, they're like
baseball-sized
sand burrs.
Wow. And you don't pick chestnuts off the tree. You have to wait for them to fall, right?
Yes. We wait for them to fall to the ground.
And then how do you pick them up?
We prefer a very simple machine called a nut wizard, a wire basket that rolls over the nuts. The nuts squeeze in between the wires and pop inside the basket, and then we empty those into 5-gallon buckets. It seems to work better than even $200,000 motorized machines and anything else we've tried. And they only cost about $55 a piece.
So give me kind of a rundown of all of the different kinds of nuts that you grow at Redfern Farms.
Well, pecans, hickons, which are a hybrid between pecan and hickory, shagbark and shellbark hickory, hazels, Persian walnuts, heart nuts, ginkgo, besides chestnuts. And black walnuts.
Have you tried anything that you found hasn't been successful in this part of Iowa?
I haven't had a whole lot of luck with the Persian walnuts or what Americans call English walnuts so far. They just don't seem very well adapted to our continental climate. The trees will survive a while, but they just don't thrive.
Who is your market? Who do you sell nuts to?
Well, the chestnuts are our main crop, and our best customers by far are Bosnian immigrants, mostly from Waterloo, but also Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, Dubuque, St. Louis, Kansas City, Omaha, Minneapolis, and Chicago.
Wow. So are you doing a mail order business?
Most of the customers come right to the farm to pick
really?
Them up.
And they like to pick them up themselves.
Yes. In fact, some of them will even make an 11-hour round trip just to see a place where chestnuts grow.
Wow. And so you're not doing much marketing of these chestnuts.
I don't do marketing. I do rationing.
Because there's just too much demand for
yes.
the supply that you can create.
Yes. I have a 4-page waiting list of mostly Bosnian names, but we have other customers, American and Korean and Greek, Serbs, Croats, Hungarians, French, Germans, Japanese.
Are chestnuts the biggest part of your business?
Yes, chestnuts are our main crop right now.
So have you had other people inspired by what you're doing? I mean, it sounds like there's room for a lot more chestnut growers in Iowa if you have that many customers who are so eager for what they can get.
Yes, and there've been new chestnut growers coming on in Iowa and surrounding states every year for the past 20 years or so.
Well, Jeff, how far north do you think you could grow Chinese chestnuts?
Well, that's actually a question for Tom,
because
he's been trying to convince me to grow them for about 4 or 5 years now, and I think he's finally convinced me to put in some trees and get started.
And where are you in northwest Iowa?
Well, I actually live in northern Kossuth County, which is almost right smack dab in the middle of the state, east and west, and about 25 miles from the Minnesota border, so northern Kossuth County. And it gets pretty cold up there. The hazelnuts that I grow had a little bit of dieback this year, and I attribute some of that to the cold, I think.
All right. And so you're going to give Chinese chestnuts a try this year?
Well, maybe not this year, but next year. I've talked to Tom about maybe getting some seedlings and There's some cold hardy Chinese chestnuts that could potentially be growing up in northwest Iowa, but you really got to have the soil and all the conditions that are right to get started with chestnuts, but it's certainly the best opportunity out there for growing nuts in Iowa.
And way up there in Kossuth County, other than hazelnuts, are there other kinds of nuts that you're able to grow?
Oh, certainly. We can grow the black walnuts. Again, we can grow pecans. We just can't look forward to much of a harvest because they're not going to ripen nuts. I'm going to have to get with Tom and find that little spot in Kossuth County where there's a native stand, maybe take a canoe trip and find some nuts there and see if I can grow them. But hickories are another possibility. Black walnuts, hazelnuts, yeah, that's about where we're at.
And Tom, when you put in, let's talk about the Chinese chestnut tree. So if you put in a Chinese chestnut tree seedling, how many years do you have to wait before you might actually get some nuts off of it?
The bare minimum would be 2 years. 3 to 4 years is more like average, assuming you do everything right. If you don't do everything right, it can take anywhere from much longer to forever.
Right. So how old is your chestnut grove?
Well, I've been constantly adding new trees every year, but the oldest trees were planted in March of 1992, so about 22 years for the oldest.
And how long will they continue to live and produce?
They'll continue to live until they die, which could be a long time. There are Chinese chestnuts in China that are over 1,000 years old still bearing nuts.
Really?
And European chestnuts in Italy, over 1,000 years old, still bearing nuts.
So are you finding that there are, and then maybe, Jeff, you could weigh in on this, are there more and more nut growers in Iowa?
Yeah, I think so. I think the opportunities are there. Folks are looking for something different. In the case of Chinese chestnuts, there's a very good market opportunity, so there's some profit there. Some other nut crops might not have as much profit, so it's a little bit tougher, but a lot of folks are interested, looking for options.
All right. Well, and I'm sure we'll hear from a lot of people who are interested this hour. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. We're talking about nut trees right now with Jeff Jensen of Trees Forever and Tom Wall of Red Fern Farm. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. We've been talking about growing nuts in Iowa so far this hour, but of course, we will answer any of your questions about the plants in your life. So whether they are nut tree related or not, you can give us a call, 866-780-9100, tweet us at IPR Talk, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me is Jeff Jensen. He's field coordinator for Northwest Iowa with Trees Forever. Tom Wall of Red Fern Farm in Wapello is here. He is a nut grower. And Richard Giron of Iowa State University Extension is also here. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today. And let's get right to the phones. Jason is on the line in Des Moines. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
What's your question?
I'm curious about the pecans. They said we can't grow them in Iowa because they don't mature. Our nuts, is it possible to harvest them at a certain stage and allow them to ripen off the tree so that we could get a harvest out of something that we wouldn't normally?
If you're too far north for pecans to ripen, it doesn't work to harvest them and let them ripen off the tree. They're not like a tomato. They have to fill on the tree.
I see.
But that said, it's only northern Iowa where this can't happen.
Is Des Moines too far north?
No. You could grow the most northern of pecans in the Des Moines area, or even Ames. But when you get up into northern Iowa, the growing season is just too short.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Jason. And next up, let's go to Mike in Waterloo. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, the previous caller just answered one of them for me. I've wondered about growing a pecan for some time, and we actually live in Greenwich Center, and that's, hopefully far enough north to get a species of pecan to grow there. The other question that I had, incidentally, we planted some hazelnuts a few years back and got an outstanding harvest of hazelnuts, although they don't have very large nuts on them, and I was looking for a comment on that. And then I have one other question.
Okay, well, why don't we talk about small hazelnuts first, and who wants to tackle that one?
I'll jump in.
Okay.
This is Jeff here, and certainly the American hazelnuts that are native to the Midwest here, the bush-type form, are going to have pretty small nuts. And so one of the things that has been done to try to increase the nut size is to hybridize the American with the European hazelnuts. Now, the European hazelnuts were grown out in Oregon. Those are the large, thin-shelled nuts you'll see in the store. And so by combining some of the genetics of the American, the beaked, and the European hazelnut, we have kind of this bush structure for hazelnut with a little bit larger-sized nuts, a little bit thinner shell, so a little bit better quality of nut size-wise. They still taste good, the smaller nuts, and can certainly be used in baked goods and things like that.
Is that hybridized? Jeff, I'm glad to see you on the show. Is that something you can purchase, a hybrid plant?
Most definitely, yep. There's certainly some nurseries out there that sell the hybrid hazelnuts. You can go to the Upper Midwest Hazelnut Development Initiative. Just Google Midwest Hazelnuts, and there'll be a listing of some folks that sell hybrid hazelnuts in southern Minnesota into Wisconsin. And certainly Tom has plants for sale at Wapello at Redfern Farm.
Okay. My last question is non-nut related, and I was hoping to find a tree expert who could help. We have a number of pines, and I'm not sure the species, that in the past couple of years have gone dead all the way almost to the top. And I wonder if those trees should be cut out of our stand or whether they should stay, and we have a good stand of, I believe it's European larch, the ones that lose their needles mm-hmm. in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have a dying at the top end, dying at the very top. Only a few, but should those be culled out of the stand or left alone?
Well, as far as the pine trees, if they're largely dead, I would remove them. I'm not sure of the cause. I would assume there's some disease involved there, but if they're largely dead, I would remove them. As far as the larch, I probably wouldn't remove them. If I could, I would prune out the dead, but I would not remove them.
Okay, that answers my questions. I thank you and enjoy the show.
Thanks a lot for your call, Mike. Next up, let's go to Kay in Ames. Hi, Kay.
Hi. I want to know what to do for a pin oak tree that's probably reached its full height, hasn't spread out real wide yet. But this spring, the leaves are yellow, and I remember some other years hearing that there's something you can do to enrich the soil for pin oaks.
Well, with the pin oaks, they require an acid soil where the pH should be around 6, 6.5. Most Iowa soils tend to be neutral or slightly alkaline, so they're a little bit high. As a result, they don't get enough iron, and that's why they turn kind of a sickly yellow green. The problem with that, it's very, very hard to correct. There's typically enough, more than enough, iron currently in the soil. It's just the fact when the pH is too high, the trees can't get it. So if you simply add more iron to the ground, that doesn't help because they still can't get it.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, lowering the soil pH is also very, very hard to do. So you really don't have a good option here. If you really want to do something, you could try maybe applying some chelated iron around the pin oak tree. That's a special form of iron that the trees can absorb more readily. So you could try that chelated iron.
Actually,
C-H-E-L-A-T-E-D, chelated iron.
Okay.
So you could try that. That doesn't always work, but you could try that. The other option would be to go ahead and maybe have an arborist inject some iron directly into the trunk of the tree. That would be another option.
Uh-huh.
But I'll also say that many of the pin oaks seem to tolerate that pretty well.
Oh, good.
Where they will kind of hang in there and still grow, but they're always kind of a light yellow-green color, not the dark green. So it doesn't mean the tree's going to die suddenly.
All right. Well, Kay, thank you so much for your call. And next, let's go to Bob in Muscatine. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hi. I've got some timber along the river here that would be ideal for nut trees. My only worry is that the deer are so plentiful. The little saplings like the oaks disappear the first year, but the hickories seem to do okay. Is there a particular type of nut tree that will the deer won't or graze on less?
Tom?
In my experience, deer will browse any kind of nut tree they can reach. And for that reason, if there are any deer around, I recommend growing the trees in a 5-foot-tall tree shelter, which is a translucent plastic tube specially designed for trees. It gives them pretty close to 100% protection from deer browse.
All right. And of course, once the tree gets big enough,
yes,
bigger
yes,
than
when they grow out the top of that tube, they're out of reach of the deer.
All right, Bob, thanks a lot for your call. Let's get to some email questions here. And, of course, you can join our conversation on Horticulture Day at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We've been talking about growing nut trees in Iowa. And, of course, you can also ask any of your plant or tree-related questions. Let's get to this email from Eric. We planted 6 Norway spruce in the fall of 2012. The trees were about 6 feet tall when we planted them and did well and are now around 8 feet tall. Last winter took its toll on 4 of the 6 spruces. 90 to 95% of the needles have fallen off 4 of the spruce. There are a few new buds coming on. However, they are located on the bottom branches. The top half of all 4 have no buds, and the trees overall have a dead-looking appearance due to the fact that they have very few needles. We know they aren't dead because there is some new growth, but we don't know if the trees can ever recover. Is there a point when we should just throw in the towel and replace, or is even a few new buds cause to hang in there?
I would probably wait another 2 weeks. The critical issue is, are the branches totally dead? If they're totally dead, they're not going to push out any new growth. And in 2 weeks, let's say around June 10th, you go out there, you examine the trees very carefully, and you don't see any live growth on the branches. Those branches are dead. Because if they were alive, they would push out some new growth. So if you look at your tree, and let's say the upper 75% or 80% is dead, the bottom branches may be alive, but that's not going to give you a good tree, most likely. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of bite the bullet and replace it, unfortunately. If you had some growth on the top, it might come out of it. But if you basically have just live growth near the base, it's not going to come out of it, most likely.
All right. Here's an email from Martha in Dubuque. I have what I believe to be eggs on my wild blackberries. There are so many that it looks like a rust color from a distance. I have production of blackberries on my farm, and I'm wondering if you could tell me what it is, and will it go to my other blackberries?
So she has
eggs on wild blackberries that look like a, it makes it look like a rust color from a distance. So apparently a lot of eggs.
Okay. I'm not sure that it's eggs. I wonder if it might be rust, which is a fungal disease. It would be kind of yellowish-orange, bright yellowish-orange. And if that's the case, I don't think you have a good option because I don't think there's an effective control on that. Mm-hmm. So that would be the key, actually. Is it rust, which is a fungal disease, or is it something else? What they could do is maybe take some photographs, if they have a digital camera, of these leaves, and then send those to our plant diagnostic clinic here at Iowa State. And the email address is P as in plant, I as in insect, D as in disease, C as in clinic, so PIDC at iastate.edu.
All right. Terrific. And let's get back to the phones. Tom is on the line in Davenport. Hi, Tom.
Hi. When I was back to nuts, when I was a kid, the hills were full of dead chestnut trees. I was in West Virginia. And I know there's been a lot of study about chestnut blight in the American chestnut, and I wondered if there's been any advances on bringing back the American chestnut. which I understand was more prolific and bigger nuts and better wood than the Chinese chestnut.
All right. Tom or Jeff, which one of you wants to take that?
I can handle that. Right. There's an organization called the American Chestnut Foundation that has been working for decades to breed a hybrid that would be mostly American with enough Chinese chestnut in its genetics to make it resistant to the fungal disease that killed off the American chestnuts. But they don't have anything ready to release to the public yet.
All right. So maybe someday.
Someday.
Okay. Next up, Sue is on the line in Marshalltown. Hi, Sue.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question?
My husband has three plum trees that are about 6 years old. There's two Shiros and one that's a plum or a prune type. And they all have had some plums growing on them last year. But he wants to know how to maximize the yield on them.
Well, basically, as they grow larger, then they'll produce more. There's really not much you can do to maximize the yield, but just give them good care. Basically, if we have a long, dry summer, make sure they have some water. Maybe do some pruning if the tree is very dense, so you get better light penetration. If they bear heavily, you may have to do some hand thinning of the excess fruit. So a number of things should help.
How much hand pruning? I mean, how many plums should be left for amount of space?
Typically, what you'd like to have as far as the best quality fruit, the biggest size, the best quality, is a fruit every 8 inches or so on the branch. So that's what you really want to have. And sometimes they overdo themselves, and they have many more than that. So,
okay. All right. Well, thank you.
All right, Sue. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Brandon in Fort Dodge. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. What's your question?
We have a fenced-in backyard. We're looking at putting up a privacy hedge all along the backyard. It's a good-sized backyard. So I'm looking for some kind of breed or of kind of a hedge. The best bang for our buck. We have a good-sized backyard, so we want something that's going to be tall, something that will grow pretty thick, so we don't have to plant them every 3 feet or so, because if we have to plant them every 3-4 feet, I need about 50 bushes.
Okay. Well, you can use a number of different shrubs that will work. The thing is, if they're deciduous, they're not as effective as a screen during the winter months, so you have to be aware of that. Evergreens would be effective year-round. As far as deciduous shrubs, I would be looking at the dogwoods, okay, like the red twig dogwood, for example, possibly a viburnum, like the American or arrowwood viburnum would be a possibility. I would look at lilacs, the common lilac, for example, possibly a spirea. Like the old-fashioned bridal wreath spirea would be a possibility. So those would be shrubs, and most of those are probably in the 8-foot range, maybe up to maybe 15 feet, depending on the plant. As far as evergreens, they would be effective year-round, but you don't really have very many choices there shrub-wise. You could try arborvitae, but we're seeing a lot of damage on arborvitae this year, so that's a concern. If you had the space for big trees, okay, I would definitely consider things like Norway spruce, a really nice, reliable evergreen. Big tree, though, but it's very reliable, possibly white pine, and I would even consider the eastern red cedar. Native to Iowa, very tough, not the prettiest, but it does its job very effectively.
All right, Brandon, thanks a lot for your call. And here's a quick one I think we can take care of before the break. Frankie in West Bend. Hi, Frankie. What's your question?
Hi. I know it's not really a tree that I'm asking about. It's more like a legume. But I want to know if you can grow peanuts in the state of Iowa, specifically in my area.
Yes, you can. It's kind of a fun thing. They don't produce very well. I've done it as a kid myself. So you can. They're very interesting plants. The interesting thing is they have these pea-like flowers, and they're kind of yellow-orange, and they flower above ground. And then when they're done flowering, the flower stalk bends down and buries the nut in the ground. So you have to dig it up in the fall of the year.
Oh, interesting. That is not the answer I was expecting, Richard. Frankie, thank you so much for your call. We're going to take a short break, and we will be back to answer more of your questions in just a few minutes. Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture, also with us today. Jeff Jensen of Trees Forever and Tom Wall, a nut grower of Red Fern Farm in Wapello. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. We've been talking a lot about nut trees in Iowa, but of course, you can join the conversation with your questions about the plants and trees in your life. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Here's one that I have to read. It's an email. It's from my mom, and she says, 30-plus years ago, so this is up in Cedar Falls, 30-plus years ago, we moved into a home with a lovely Lily of the Valley garden. It flourished for years and then just started disappearing. Now I have discovered about 12 feet from the original garden, lilies growing. They're against a sandstone basement wall of a 130-year-old house. What can I do to nurture them?
If they're Lily of the Valley, you don't really need to do much. They basically kind of take care of themselves. You can spread them around if you wish. They're pretty easy to move around. They have these underground stems or rhizomes, and you can just dig up a clump and move it elsewhere. But beyond that, just not much of anything, really.
All right. If the soil gets a lot of traffic, I think that's what happened to okay. the original ones. I mean, if the soil is really compacted, that can cause a problem, right?
Right. They can't take a lot of foot traffic. Otherwise, though, if they have partial shade, that's what they like, partial shade, and a good soil, they can actually be quite aggressive. So they spread pretty quickly.
If she wants them to spread more quickly, if she aerated the soil in the area around there, would that help?
Oh, I don't think you have to do much of anything to encourage that. Just maybe keep down the competition nearby, remove them, and they'll kind of spread in on their own.
All right, Mom, I hope that helps. Angela in Iowa City sent this email. I have some elevated garden boxes for my vegetable garden that are made from wooden crates. They're about 1.5 feet high by 2 feet wide by 2 feet deep. I was loosening the soil from one in preparation of planting some seedlings and found a whole lot of ants. What can I do to get rid of the ants? Will insecticides or ant traps have an impact on future vegetables, or do I have to get rid of all the soil and start fresh?
The ants really aren't that big a deal. They seldom really damage plants, and so I really wouldn't worry about them a great deal. They can kind of do their thing, and you can probably do your thing.
Okay, so if she can ignore them?
Right.
She says she also has a couple more ant colonies in regular flower beds. So mm-hmm. if she's overrun with ants, is there something she can do?
Well, typically you don't have to, but I guess if you really needed to, you can maybe take a rake and kind of rake the mound area really, really thoroughly, and then possibly put an insecticide in that mound area and then rake it again. So you could possibly do that, but that's seldom necessary.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. And next up, let's go to Roger in Ames. Hi, Roger.
Yes, hello. This is for Jeff. I planted some hazelnut seeds last fall, and I did not scarcify the coat. Should I have done that?
Well, typically the hazelnuts are soaked in a cold soak to go through a dormancy period. So you should still be able to get germination if the seed was handled right after harvesting. Of course, if you're going to harvest the seed and then dry it down to eat the nuts, it'll be more difficult to germinate them and to get them to grow. But I'm not sure that scarification is actually needed.
No, okay. I did go through the cold, so I think that part was okay. The same thing with chestnut.
Chestnuts, like hazels, have to be handled correctly from the moment they fall to the ground.
Yeah.
And stored properly. In both cases, both hazels and chestnuts would need to be stored in refrigeration, not a freezer, over the winter. Mixed with a damp medium, such as a damp peat moss, damp sawdust, damp sand, or something like that. If they dry out, they will lose viability. And if they freeze, they will be killed. So.
Okay. I planted these last fall, so that's probably my problem then.
Well, if you planted them in the fall, the mice probably found them during the winter.
No. Well, yeah, I don't think so, but the seed, I cracked some open, and the seed is kind of mushy in there.
If the seed is mushy, then they rotted and they're dead.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right, Roger.
Thank
you. Thanks a lot for your call. Susan is on the line next in Fairfield. Hi, Susan.
Oh. Hi. Hi there.
Hi.
We've got a lot of walnut trees on our property. They're black walnuts, and, of course, they're wild. You know, and they grow, you know, along and in the creek beds. And last year we had, like, the creek bed was just literally covered with walnuts that fell. And we're wondering if there's some market for walnuts like this.
Yes, the answer is yes. Typically, only cultivar black walnuts are sold for to crack out and eat. So these would be much larger. The kernels would be much larger. The pieces would be much larger. However, just wild walnuts, Hammond's Nut Products out of Missouri, they set up buying stations throughout Iowa. And so they will pay for wild black walnuts. And then, of course, they at their buying stations will husk them, send the cleaned nuts to their facility in Missouri, and then crack them out and get what nut meats they can, and then use the shells for other things as well.
All right, and Hammond's Walnut Products, is that what you said?
I believe it's Hammond's Nut Products Missouri,
okay. Stockton, Missouri.
Missouri,
yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. And, you know, a lot of people, of course, just let the black walnuts fall on the ground. We had a post on Twitter, a tweet, one of our staffers, this is from Consulting Arborists, one of our staffers' grandpas used to pick hickory nuts in Iowa for years. Hard work, but worth the effort. There are a lot of wild nuts that grow that people don't take advantage of. Tom, does that kind of drive you crazy that there are all these nuts that don't get collected? And
Well, the squirrels got to eat too.
Right.
and if they don't get wild nuts to eat, they're going to come get my chestnuts. So I don't have a problem with wild nuts staying out in the woods.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. And Will is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Will.
Hi, good morning. Like you and so many others, I'm working an awful lot outside right now. And I'm just getting eaten alive by gnats and biting flies and midges. And I know that you've answered the question many times. But what is the current conventional wisdom on what we can do in order to last outside?
Vanilla.
I would suggest contacting your entomologist here at Iowa State. His name is Donald Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And you can reach him here at Iowa State at 515-294-1101. Now, if you can wait 1 week, he should be on the program next Friday, too. So that's a possibility there.
Okay. Well, I'll certainly wait for that. And I've got a sapling, a maple sapling about 2 feet tall. Any mm-hmm. chance that can be repositioned, replanted?
Oh, sure. I would probably wait at this point. It's in leaf. So I would just guard it the rest of this year. Make sure you don't hit it with anything like a lawnmower. Make sure the rabbits don't get it this winter. And then next spring, as soon as the ground is workable, before it leaves out, dig it up and transplant it.
All right, Will, thanks a lot for your call. And Tom, you swear by vanilla?
Yep. Vanilla makes an excellent repellent for those biting gnats.
I have used that myself. And another product that is made in Iowa that is getting a lot of following right now is Bug Soother that's made in Columbus Junction, which is, I believe there's actually vanilla in the mix that they put in there. But there are a lot of gnats in Iowa City. There's a lot of talk about this right now. Constant subject of our source of conversation around here. All right, let's get back to questions. This is from Kathy. My dwarf fountain grasses are showing very little to no growth so far this spring. The same with my lavender. Was this winter too hard on them and they're just slower this year?
Well, I think there may be some damage there. I have noticed that too. Some of the ornamental grasses are just not showing signs of life yet. Now, they tend to be rather slow anyway, but I'm just not seeing much signs of life. And as far as what may have occurred, I think a couple of things may have occurred. We had the very cold air temperatures, but we also had very cold soil temperatures. And I'm afraid maybe the soil temperatures damaged or destroyed the roots or crown of the plant. So it's possible they're dead. Now, I would still wait another 2 weeks. But if you don't see signs of life by June 10th on these grasses, I'm guessing they're dead. Okay. So it's not a good thing.
Here's a question from Matthew on Facebook. What are your guests' thoughts on a Chinese chestnut tree on a south side easement of a smaller urban lot with child traffic, possibly barefoot? Any alternatives for a tree complementary to sugar maples on the lot?
Chestnuts do not make good yard trees for the reasons previously mentioned, the spiny burrs, especially if you have children wanting to go barefoot.
So I would probably go with a shade tree like a maple, oak, linden, et cetera. They'd be much better.
All right. And just on the subject of planting one nut tree, do we need to plant more than one if we plant a nut tree for pollination purposes?
If you want nuts, yes.
Okay. All right. So a single tree is not going to get you very far if you actually want to harvest, right?
Yeah. In the case of a chestnut, they'll still produce all the burrs, so there just won't be any nuts inside.
Delightful. All right. This is from Katie. She says, my family has a butternut tree that was planted by my grandmother that was given to her by her father. It's starting to die back, but is still producing nuts. We want to grow some of the nuts from it or transplant some of the seedlings around it. What would be the best way to do that?
Stratify the nuts in the fall with damp medium. Store them in refrigeration, just like with the chestnuts and hazels. Grow them in pots the following year where you can guard them away from mice and squirrels and chipmunks and then set them out in their final location in the fall. Unfortunately, though, butternuts are highly susceptible to a fungal disease called butternut canker, and the chances of butternuts surviving is kind of slim.
Hmm. All right. Let's get back to the phones. Karen is on the line in Muscatine. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a question about my rhododendrons, and they're partially coming back this year, and partially it looks like they've died off. Is there anything I can do?
Well, I would just basically wait a few more days, I think, and then go out and prune out what appears to be dead. Basically, if there's no sign of life there, it's dead, and prune that back. If you lose a large amount of that plant, it may be a better option simply to replace it, if that's the case.
Okay. I just prune it, like how much, because some of it's blooming, okay. Maybe half of it.
Right. So what I would do is go out in a few days and look for signs of life. Where you have a branch, there's no sign of life at all, go down that branch. Do you find some growth? If you do, prune it off just above that new growth.
All right. Karen, thanks for your call. Let's go to Charlie in Adel. Hey, Charlie.
Hi.
What's your question?
I have a native black walnut, and every year when the nuts come out, when I look at them and gather them, there's a lot of them have small holes in them, like an insect got in there before and has destroyed the nut. Is there something I can do to prevent that from happening?
Oh, a lot of silence.
Well, I will say that insect control on nuts is very, very difficult. I'm not sure it's a practical option. I think you have to live with some insect damage as far as nut trees.
Yeah, there are some insecticides that commercial black walnut growers use to control weevil, but I'm not sure it would be really worthwhile on just a native black walnut.
All right.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, Charlie, thanks a lot for your call. And next up, Brian in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Hi, I have about an 8-foot new maple tree that's growing in our backyard that we just planted last year. And this spring, some leaves came in on the bottom of the tree, but at the top, there's really nothing growing. And so I was wondering, with a with a tree like this? Is there something I should do with it to help it grow, or are those portions where leaves aren't growing dead? Should I prune it back a bit? What's your suggestion?
Well, I'm afraid the upper portion may in fact be dead. The unfortunate thing is when you have a young tree is not well established. It's not as winter hardy. And I think the extreme cold got it this past winter, unfortunately. I would wait another couple of weeks or so again and go out and look at the tree. If the vast majority of the tree is dead, I think I'd replace it just because it's unlikely it's going to develop into a good tree, so I'd replace it. If you do get some growth on the top, then I would simply prune out the dead and give it good care, meaning keep it well watered this summer if we have a dry summer. Keep on watering until fall if we have a dry fall, and see if it responds next year.
All right. And Richard, when it's time to give up on all of these plants, you'll tell us on Hort Day.
Okay, sure.
All right.
Two more weeks.
Okay. It's all over. All right. This is a question from Leslie. I've been reading a lot about agroforestry, and I'm wondering if Jeff and Tom could speak more to its viability in the state of Iowa. Are farmers in Iowa taking advantage of combining farm crops with nut crops? And Tom, obviously, you're focused on agroforestry.
Yes.
But Jeff, do you have a response to that?
Yeah, I do. Actually, this is Trees Forever's 25th year anniversary, and so we're actually doing some special programming with agroforestry this year, doing some agroforestry workshops throughout the state to really educate folks on what agroforestry is. I'd be willing to bet not a lot of folks realize that we can grow nut crops, some nut crops commercially, and that nut crops can work in a lot of different agroforestry settings. So our next one's coming up here in Villisca on June 1st, and so that'll be an opportunity for folks to learn what agroforestry is and what some of those options are, whether it's the hazelnuts or the chestnuts or black walnuts. And so as we talked about nuts being interesting for something different, and there's a lot of interest in that, agroforestry is the same way. A lot of folks are perking up to see some of the benefits, especially water quality and diversity and things like that. So I'm optimistic.
And I can't imagine a lot of farmers combining operations and taking advantage of land that may not be easy to cultivate.
That's the most direct impact, certainly, is to take those marginal acres and put them into trees.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Jeff Jensen is field coordinator for Northwest Iowa with Trees Forever. Tom Wall, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Tom Wall of Red Fern Farm in Wapello. He is a nut grower. And Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension horticulturist. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Technical support today from Jason Burns. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up Monday on Talk of Iowa, we're going to talk about fishing in the state. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.